なんでですね、大会。I really wasn't planning on doing this part of it. I was just planning on teaching. Before I start, is there any prayer request? Stephanie? Anybody else? That's wrong. Just unspoken. Really? David Allen? Yes, she does. I know everybody's probably wondering about Kitty, about Missy. Missy's surgery that was supposed to be today was canceled because of the weather and the water. And Missy, my daughter Missy, she has a beta cancer that's up here, and they have to go in and dig deeper and wider, and they had to cancel it because of that. Pray that she will go ahead, that will go ahead, because she told them, she said, I don't want to wait another 3 months. She says, this worries on your mind too long. So she's asked them to, you know, get her in as soon as possible. So y'all pray that she will. Yes, Kitty had our operation Friday. We went with her over there with Karen, to be with her and Karen, and she went through it great. Dr. Booth said that she did really well. She will be, she had to go through physical therapy, their kind of physical therapy, before she would be let out. And she had to have drainage tubes taken out before they would let her out. So Sunday afternoon, she came to our house. She's staying with Stephen and I. And she's doing good. She's doing it as much as she can on her own. We have to, you know, we helped her with her medicine because they changed that. She changed some of her medicine. We helped her with that. We have to remind her to walk every 20 minutes because he doesn't want her to sit longer than that because of blood clots. But actually, she's doing really good. Missy's with her tonight, so. He was looking after us. He knew what was going on. And we had to wait till the next day to get the medicine, but she had, thank God she had some codeine, some hydrocodone medicine. She got through with that before we get her prescriptions the next day. But anyway, let's get started with the Bible study. This book is Lord Change Me. It was by Evelyn Christensen. She is a minister's wife, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a background on it. I've sent you out a thing, but I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to let you, y'all take it home and you can find out more what it's about. But session one of this book will teach us to search our own hearts, whether we're leaders or members of the group, to go, and teach us to go through the process that's described in chapter one of how you can change your attitude. We have to change ourselves. We can't change the other person. Oh, I'm sorry. We can't change the other person. So we have to change ourselves. We can't make them change. We can't try to manipulate them to change because it just doesn't work. So we have to learn to change our attitudes, the way we react. And that's one of the things she really teaches you in it. And we have to learn to motivate the group that's with us, working with us, whether they're Christians or non-Christians. This is a book that non-Christians can even study, but they have to understand. They can't really hear from God like they should if they haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going by, I'm trying to give y'all excerpts out of her book so that, you know, you can understand that, you know, if somebody's interested, they can try it. You know, even they're not a Christian. They're not going to really understand it like a Christian will. But that might be what will draw them to the Lord. But we need to be able to see what He wants us to change, what needs to be changed in us. The third one is to help each person open his life to God's changing process by leading him to pray sincerely, Lord, change me. To prepare ourselves for the Holy Spirit to make this life-changing goal. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Miss Dorothy. To allow the Lord, Holy Spirit, to change us in this life-changing goal, we have to be prepared to want to change. We have to be willing to listen to Him and to perform to His will for us. so that we can be in His Son's image. And that means we have to truly obey what He's done. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Evelyn Christensen and why she started this, why she ended up writing this book, Lord Change Me. In the beginning, she was teaching. Her husband was a minister, and she was teaching Sunday school, and she was one having prayer times with other women and teaching other women how, you know, helping them learn how to pray in different subjects and in different ways. And so people, especially men in the church, began to call him Mrs. Evelyn Christensen. And, you know, picking at him. And she felt really bad because he was being picked on. And so it had really tore her up. And so she got up one morning at 5 o'clock and she went downstairs to her prayer closet. And she started praying and asking the Lord to change her. Well, her husband came downstairs. He missed her. And he came downstairs and he said, Evelyn, can I join you? And she said, yes. But she says, Chris, I'm not praying for you. I'm praying for me. Said, I need to be changed. I'm asking the Lord to change me. And so he told her, he said, Evelyn, you are doing what God has asked you to do. He says, I don't care what they call me. He said, I don't care if they call me Mrs. Evelyn Christensen. It just doesn't matter. He said, God has got you doing what you're supposed to be doing, and I want you to do what God wants you to do. So she started praying. And just going through the Bible and learning things and saying, Lord, how do you want me to change? You know, how am I supposed to change so that people won't look at my husband like he's Mr. And he's, that, you know, he's not the main minister, but that he's following in my footsteps instead of. And so she started studying the Bible and reading verses and just going to wherever he told her to. And one of the main things that she read, and this one's a hard one. This one's a hard one for any woman in here. Not for the men. This one's a hard one for the woman. I knew about wanted to leave this one out, but God wouldn't let me. It's 1 Peter 3:1-2. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they might also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Well, you know, we're supposed to be in subjection to the Christian leadership of our husbands. Some of us weren't always married to Christian people, men. So there were some things we just couldn't do. But when I was looking at this verse today and typing it on here, because I didn't have a computer to type until today, I looked at it and it said, Lord, change me, written beside of it in my handwriting, in the 8th month of 2000. So I went back and I was looking at years. In 97, I went through this Bible study with another group from another church, and in 2000 I was doing it on my own because I needed help that year. My daddy died and a lot of other things were going on, so this was one of the verses he gave me in the 8th month of 2000. And with Evelyn Christensen, the next problem she came against fighting was her daughter was going off to college. And she was sitting down talking to her daughter, and her daughter says, Mama, I don't want to hear any more of your ideas on any subject. I'm tired of hearing your ideas and what you're teaching people. I'm just tired of it. I want to do my thing my way. And so she said it upset her so bad that she ran upstairs and she got in her prayer closet and she started praying, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. Don't change my husband. Don't change my daughter. Don't change my other kids. Don't change my pastor. Don't change my coworkers. But change me. And when you start going through this book and you listen to the things she says and the way she says them and the experiences she went through to get there, she went through 14 months of this Lord, change me in hard study and learning lessons before she ever wrote the book, Lord, Change Me. And she found this verse from her daughter when her daughter told her this. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we're supposed to be Christ-like, and to do that, we have to change ourselves. Session one of this book is about me, you, you know, the individual. It's not, you know, not you in a group, but you, me, and how God wants to change me. Whoever's studying this book, it's about, the first session is about them and how God wants to change them. The second one is about the seven methods God used to change me. Evelyn Christensen went through seven steps, seven methods of going back through her Bible and changing the Bible, Lord, change me, things, and gathering it up. And the first four methods come straight from the Bible, his word. And she said, since God is the true only author who is always present with us while we read, I continually find it in my heart. She said, other words, I put it this in my words. It was like running. My heart would start pounding, beating, racing. And she talked about, and it really did when she talked about when the Savior came back after his resurrection, and he met the two men on the Emmaus Road, and he opened up the scriptures to them and told them what the word said. And that's kind of, you know, I can identify with her, what she said there, you know, about her heart racing. She said it in different words. I put this in my words. But, you know, God promised us all that we would have wisdom. God promised all of his children wisdom, and that we would have, that we would ever need to be transform our lifestyles. Not what somebody else wants us to be, but for us to be what he wants us to be. And all the times that I have used this method, and I'm talking about myself now. I'm not talking about Evelyn Christensen. I'm talking about myself now. We did it in a devotionally at another church, in another group. I did it on my own. I've started it over again. That's when I started talking to people about joining me with it. I found that God does speak to you. Just, I've had so many Bibles that I have to go back through to find the dates, because I've used so many different Bibles that I've had to turn page by page to find where he spoke to me and put the dates. You know, I had the dates out. Was like, best thing, and one of the things that I regret, I lost my book. But it's best thing you can do is make a journal. When you read that verse and he stops you and tells you what he wants to change, it's not that you, he'll stop you at that verse, but you have to ask him, what is it in here that you want me to do? What it is that you want me to change? How do you want me to change? You know, you have to ask these questions. Sometimes you'll forget them. So if you write a journal, you'll have it back to go back to. With me, I lost my journal. I can't find it. I know I kept it, but I can't find it. So I've had to go back Bible by Bible, find the dates. But he does speak to me. And he speaks to me in his word. That's how I'm going to find out how he wants me to change. We're changed as we study his word, the Bible. And that is the only trustworthy source of truth. The only one. The the other three message, the methods that the Lord used and changed me for Evelyn Christian Son were through prayer. And that is true with me too. The first one is when I ask him, is admitting my need to be changed. God always hears and answers in ways that I never expected. Amen to that one. In ways that I never even knew I needed to change. And I can say amen again to that one. Because some of them really hard. Some of them you don't really want to change. So the second part, the second session in the book is when I pray for others. When you're praying for somebody else, and really pray, I mean really praying for them, and that's a part of this Bible study, is praying for the others in your group, praying for other people that you know and love, the pastor, you know, whoever. You can't hate them. You can't gossip about them. You can't pray for them and do those things. You have to learn. You learn. You don't have to learn. You learn through His Word that you cannot hate somebody or gossip about them or feel bad about them or stay mad at them. You have to get through all that to do what He wants to change in you. And so, when I pray for others, means that I'm going to change my attitude about them and towards them. The third one is, of the session in the book is, when others pray for me. It's about changes I see in myself as I'm being prayed for. And I brought... I'm sorry. But I wanted to read a little excerpt you had in here about I have trouble holding this thing up. I'm sorry. I forgot I need my glasses for this. But when she says, when I'm praying for others, or when others are praying for me, chapter, the session three of the book, she says that she sees how she's being changed by others' prayers. But she also states that God showed her the dangers in that too. And I'm sorry. I guess God didn't want me to read it after all. But anyway, she says that even though others are praying for you, they might not always be praying the best way for you. That it can be a dangerous process. So you have to also bind those feelings, you know, and ask the Lord to protect you as you're changing and even as others are praying for you. That was kind of unsettling to me the first time I read it. And it was unsettling to me this time when I read it. Because I don't really always think of somebody else praying prayers really going against me. It's not always God doing the changing. It's according to how others are praying for you too. In James 3:15 it says, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and devilish." We can be changed by others, by our own sensual selves, by demons, not always by God. So we have to be careful, even though we know that others are praying, and even though they believe that they're praying good for you, sometimes it doesn't always work that way. getting into studying this session is we'll teach you more about the harm, the ways that others can pray for you, how, you know, you've heard the pastor say before, people can walk in that door and let Satan come with them. So you have to pray. God's with you all the time. The Holy Spirit's with you all the time. He's with you outside this building. You bring him in this building with you, and he's here. He's wherever you go as long as you carry him with you. So, you know, it's up to you to recognize and realize what, how others are praying and how it might be harmful to you. We can be changed. We can change if we allow God to change us the way he wants to change us. We can be changed. Do the Lord change me? 7 biblical principles. This book was written so you can have an incredible potential for a deeper walk with God and the joy of changed relationships with other people. With a lot of it, I found over the years, I forgot a lot of it, left behind a lot of it. So that's why I've studied it so many times. But, because we forget. We let nature, we let our own selfish personalities take over. So we forget those things that we learned before. Sometimes we really have to go back and study them again. Sometimes I take out the things that my mama left for me right now and read them because she was she wasn't a perfect person, but she was a very great prayer warrior. People call her all the time, you know, for prayer, to be a prayer warrior. And she was always writing things down. She was always cutting out things that really meant something to her. So a lot of times I take them out and just read them. But if you decide, even if you decide to do this on your own, you don't want to do a group thing, make your journal and of what you learn on from that verse. Book will have Bible verses in it in each chapter that will help you to know where to start reading. It'll teach you when you're supposed to learn to stop and not reading further. All you have to do is listen to that small still voice in here. God will pop that word out at you where he wants you to stop. And believe me, he does it. And you know, if you're in tune to him, if you pray and ask him for the knowledge and wisdom before you start that day, or start that chapter, he will stop you where he wants you to stop. You have handouts to do with this thing to help you get through it. I guess the main thing that means a lot to me is that I really learned to listen to when God wanted me to stop some works. And that's not just in this book, but it's in my daily devotions. And I've learned to start doing, since I started this time, I've learned to start doing a journaling. I had quit doing journals. Now I've started doing journals again. So, just think about it, pray about it, ask God if he wants you to do this Bible study. I really believe that there's people that can really learn something from it and really see a change in their life, and it actually can make a change in other people's life because they watch you. Now, if they see the joy of the Lord in you, They see your kindness. You know. Whatever. You get mad at somebody. You get upset with somebody. And you might not want to say anything to them. You might not want to speak to them again. But God says, hey, listen to me. That's not the way I would have you to do it. That's not what I want you to do. Because that's not the way my son would do it. And I really had to learn that lesson the hard way lately. So just think about it. Pray about it. Ask God if he wants you to study this book. One thing I want to ask you in the very end is, are you willing to change in any way God wants you to? That's it for the night. Doesn't matter. I wish I had found that thing, but I lost it. But she explained it so well about how third session about, you know, how others praying for you can be harmful. So, and that, you know, to me, that was a lesson that I really think, you know, when I read what she wrote, I thought, I haven't thought of that in a long time. Norma? Yeah?
Just as soon as you recognize a false spirit, a blackness, a deepness, an evil piercing you or hovering over you or invading you, invading the goodness of God that you were seeking and that others were seeking for you in the prayer. But to immediately come against that in the name of Jesus and say, I do not receive that in the name of Jesus. That particular evil that is trying to penetrate the prayer area that's being prayed for you. And even if you're in the audience and it's being prayed for someone else, you know, to pray that on their behalf. Say, we do not recognize this evil spirit in the name of Jesus. Depart. You have no place here. You cannot stay in the name of Jesus. So, a big responsibility becomes on our shoulders when we, you know, the more we learn, the more we're in tune with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And evil spirits. You just have to be ever alert and put Ephesians 6 to use and just stand firm with the Lord and combat all those fiery darts that Satan throws at us. Okay.
I'm glad you mentioned Brother Tim. There was another thing that he taught about when the pastor is praying for an individual for a certain and laying hands, that nobody else should lay hands on that individual because sometimes the anointing is drawn away. Lay hands on the pastor and trust the anointing that's on the pastor and just pray a prayer of agreement. and that his, the anointing flows through him according to God's will, just a prayer of agreement and pray through the pastor instead of laying hands on the recipient. Because when you pray for the pastor, you're multiplying what he's praying. Because you might pray something entirely different, counteracting what the pastor's praying. I mean, it's hot. Both could be good. But trust the pastor's anointing and just pray agreement with his prayer.
Anybody else got any comments? I remember Brother Tim. I just don't remember that one. So maybe it's a good thing y'all brought it to my mind. She says here, however, God showed me the danger in the process and an unsettling truth. It was not always himself, the Lord, doing the changing. According to James 3:15, there are three other sources vying for my thoughts and actions, changing me. Section 3 of this book deals with the subtle or deliberate ways we are changed by other people, by our own sensual selves, by demons, and not by God. The test of which source of wisdom we have heeded is the result it produces in us, whether or not we are changed more and more into our goal of conforming to the likeness of Jesus. As you go on studying it, and you get into that third session, it gets a lot deeper, and you understand a little bit more about what she's saying and what they've been talking about, what Brother Tim taught. I think I got tapes on him at home. I'm going to have to pull them out. I saved my tapes over the years. Anyway, Vinnie, would you lead us in prayer?